Hey guys, welcome back to Willis Outdoor Adventures podcast. I have a little bit of a different podcast for you today. It's actually just me. I don't have a guest, but I've been thinking about doing this for so long, and I finally think that I'm just going to commit to it, and I'm going to go ahead and crank this one out. Today I want to talk about kind of like a book review or a summation maybe of The Old Man and the Sea. Right now this is my favorite book in the whole world. Other than maybe the Bible, but favorite fiction book anyway. And I kind of rediscovered it this spring, and I want to talk about why I like it and why it touched me so much. So I guess I reread this book this spring. I had read it when I was like 11, but I reread it this spring, and I rediscovered it because as I was training for my ultra marathon, I was consuming a lot of like ultra marathon content and stuff, and I stumbled upon a local guy named Cody. Local to Mid-Missouri, and he's kind of a local legend, wins a bunch of the ultras around there. And I heard him on a podcast. He was a guest on a podcast, and he brought up during the course of the podcast this book, The Old Man and the Sea, and he referred to it as like the ultra runner's book. And I was like, huh, that's kind of interesting. That's not how I remember it. And then throughout the podcast, he called it that a few other times. He basically said it was like the book on ultra marathons or the book on ultra running. And I thought, huh, I kind of remembered that book being about fishing. So I decided to give it a read. It's a small book, and see if I agreed with him. And actually, after reading it, I can definitely see where he's coming from. But anyway, what I want to do is like first kind of give an overview of the story, and then tell like some of the values that I see in the story and some of the values that I see in the main character, and I guess why the story touched me so much and why I think it touches everyone who reads it and why it's so relatable. So basically the overview is there's this old Cuban fisherman, or at least he's a fisherman who's been living in Cuba for a long time, and he's a really old dude and he's really poor and he's like super down on his luck. He actually hasn't caught a fish for, I think, 87 days. So as a fisherman, that's not what you want. So he's basically just living day to day. He's sleeping on newspapers for his bedding. He's super poor. And, his one friend who he still has in his life is this boy, this young boy who was basically like an apprentice figure to him. He kind of taught this boy everything he knew about fishing and his love for the sea. But ultimately the boy's family forced him to go work for a different, sounds like larger fishing company, a larger charter company for fishing, where he's had pretty good success, and they bring in fish regularly throughout the book. You know, he says, oh, I'm not lucky, and the boat that you're with is lucky, the old man that is. But they still have a really great friendship, the two of them, and a bond that's super close, almost like family, like a familial bond between them. But anyway, so instead of quitting, the old man keeps going out to sea every day in his little skiff and trying to catch a fish. And at the beginning, it kind of intros the story where he's down on his luck, but he says, hey, tomorrow I'm going out really far. And I'm going for a big fish. I'm going to catch a big fish tomorrow. And just you already are starting to see like the optimism that he has, but he goes out, says, I'm going to catch a fish. He catches a small bait fish or something. And then he catches a little bit of a bigger fish. So I guess technically, the drought is over, but it's still not the fish that he's looking for. And he, you know, they're after big, you know, I wish I knew my fish species better, but in my mind, it's like a big marlin or something that they're trying to fish. It's these big, you know, giant 2000 pound, I don't even know, tuna marlin type fish, big fish. But ultimately he's going out to try to catch a big fish. And it's one of those industries where, you know, if you can catch one of these big fish, it's a good amount of money, and you may only need 10, 15, 20 of these fish a season to make a living. But if you're not catching any, you're not doing it. So anyway, he goes out there, he keeps going farther and farther, and you could just already tell the respect that he has for the sea and the knowledge that he has for his craft. And ultimately, he ends up hooking on to a really big fish, and a really, really big fish, and he can tell it's big. And from there, it's the old man in his little skiff, hooked onto a really big fish, and it becomes this battle, with the fish. And he actually battles the fish for a very long time, for days. I think like 3 days, he battles this fish and tries to land it in his boat. And the fish is strong, and he's old, but he's got a lot of willpower. And he ends up finally catching the fish, and couldn't get it up in his boat because it was so big. So he strapped it to the side of his skiff. And you can also feel the respect that he has for the fish and stuff. I'll get into some of that later. But then as he's going back to the village, you know, he's obviously worn out. And, you know, as an old guy battling a fish for days like this, I'm sure he was, honestly, I'm not even exaggerating, you know, on the brink of death, you know, not much left in this tank. But as he's heading back to the village, a shark comes and, you know, basically attacks his fish because it smelled the dead fish in the water, and it come to try to take some of it, and it took a huge chunk out of the fish. And so the old man has to fight this shark off, and he ends up killing it with his harpoon. But at this point, there's like this beautiful point in the story. It's like, it's so beautiful and tragic at the same time. Like, the guy has been around the block a few times, the old man, and you can just tell he knows what's coming. And he, ironically, after 87 days of fishing and finally getting a big fish, he has such remorse. And he says a line several times about, "Oh, I'm sorry, fish." You know, he talks to the fish and he says, "I'm sorry, fish. I went out too far. I never should have come this far. And I got to get through this podcast without crying." Man, this podcast or this book has already made me cry twice while reading it this spring. But anyway, sorry, guys. More and more sharks come. And he, after battling this fish, he has to battle these sharks. After finally catching a fish, he has to battle off these sharks. And he's fighting more and more of them off until eventually there's basically nothing left of the fish. They've eaten the whole thing. So he gets back to the village. Gosh dang. Sorry, guys. This is goofy. He gets back to the village late at night. Nothing left of the fish. Nothing left as far as energy goes for him. So he basically drags himself back to his little shack with his newspapers and goes to sleep. And I'll get into some of this later too. But as he's going to the shack, he like put the mask over his back and carried it. And I definitely think, you know, I don't know if the author, Hemingway, I don't know if he was a believer, a Christian or not, but I definitely think he's making parallels to Christ carrying his cross up Calvary Hill. And you can see that for sure. But he goes back to his shack and goes to sleep, and it's just, you know, trying to regain his strength as he's literally on the verge of death. And in the morning, the boy obviously was concerned about him because he had been gone for like 4 days and had been, you know, eagerly waiting his return. So when he saw his boat, he was happy that his friend was alive, but he saw the fish and instantly knew. He instantly knew everything that the old man had been through. And so he kind of went to his shack to take care of him and to just say, "Hey, I love you, man. You taught me a lot." And so he kind of had an interaction with some of the fishermen there. And there's also a beautiful line too. I think it's cool, and it just shows the quality of their friendship, where the fishermen congratulate him on his catches. He had caught 3 fish that very week, and he said, "Damn the fish that I caught." And I just think it shows how much he cared for the old man and the bond that they had, because he didn't care about the fish that he was catching. He just felt so much remorse for the old man, as the old man's battling a lot. Even in getting older, there's a lot of themes in the book of getting older and like passing the baton and your time on earth just kind of dwindling away. But gosh, the themes are so thick in this book. So anyway, then at the very end, or maybe I'll talk about this later. At the very end, though, I'll talk about why this is important later. I think it's important. At the very end, it ends the book, you know, with they're talking about their future plans. The boys get probably going to go fishing with this guy, the old guy, from now on. And there's also like some tourists who are eating at this local bar or restaurant or whatever, and they see the fish and they comment to the owner of the bar. They say, "Oh, you know, what is that thing on the boat that's massive?" And the owner basically said, something about, they said like, what happened? What is that? And the owner said something about sharks. I get the impression that there was maybe a language barrier. But they took it as, oh, it's a shark. So they actually thought it was a shark. But anyway, I'll talk about that a little later, why I think that's important. But I want to transition now. That's kind of the gist of the story. It's important to note, too, this is the biggest fish that he had ever caught, the old man, or anybody in that village had ever seen. It was like 18 feet long. So very, very, very big fish. But anyway, I want to kind of transition into some of the values that this book focuses on and highlights. And I think the first one is maybe a little bit obvious, but I want to talk about just the value of adversity in our lives in general. And I want to say this right off the bat. I think, so after reading the book, I think, yeah, it is actually the ultra runner's book. It's all about ultra marathons in the weirdest way possible. It's about endurance and, how important your mindset is and taking care of your body throughout the way. And, competitiveness and pushing yourself beyond your limits. It's definitely the ultra runners podcast. So I agree with Cody in that aspect, but I actually think it's more than that. I think everyone who reads the book is going to connect to it in some way, and they're going to connect their own lives to it. And I think the reason that this is because it's really a book about humanity and how hard life is. And I know that's kind of cliche and it sounds a little bit depressing, but we all have things in our life, whether it's a loved one dying or anything, that you go through seasons in your life that are just full of adversity and difficulty. And this is why everyone connects, or at least I connect with this book so much, is because the adversity that the old man's going through and just keeps pushing through. So I want to talk a little bit about the value of adversity and how in our culture, in American culture, it's like, I don't even know. We value so comfort so much. Like, most of what you do in your life is like very comfortable. And in fact, you like strive for comfort. Like our whole life is like built around comfort, from, you know, heated seats in your cars and, hot water for your showers. And just everything is about making you comfortable, that I think we've like lost a little bit of touch with, what it means to like suffer and go through adversity and the importance of that. And I know we all do suffer and go through adversity, but I think we kind of forget how to deal with it. So I think the book shows that really well, is like how to, just be persistent and go through adversity and what adversity does for you. And one thing I wanted to mention, so the old man, he has, DiMaggio, I guess, is a baseball player from that time. And so he followed them in the newspaper, this baseball player, and he was like an idol for him. He was like, oh, the great DiMaggio. He would always call him the great DiMaggio and read about his games and stuff. And early in the book, he finds out that DiMaggio has a bone spur in his heel, and he played anyway. And he was so amazed by that. The old man was so amazed by that. And he comments to himself, oh, I bet if I had a bone spur, I couldn't even walk. But the great DiMaggio is still playing baseball with a bone spur in his heel. And you're probably wondering, like, why am I talking about this bone spur? Well, later in the book, after he's fought this fish for a couple days and has just endured a lot of adversity, he starts thinking about DiMaggio while he's hooked to this fish, and he thinks about DiMaggio and having a bone spur, and he actually comments to himself. He says, I wonder if I have a bone spur and I just don't know it. So before, he was talking about how painful it must be and how he could only imagine. But after going through this adversity, he has so much confidence that he's built up in himself just through this one instance, that he now is thinking, maybe I have a bone spur and I don't even know it. It just doesn't bother me that much because I'm used to pushing through this stuff so much. And he is. You can tell throughout his life, he's gone through a ton of adversity, not only physical, but also with stuff with his family and stuff that's making him a little bit more capable of going through physical adversity. This is a little side note, but I actually heard Cam Haynes say on an interview the other day, he was talking about his son trying to run a 100-mile ultra marathon, and his son was in plenty good shape to do it, but he ended up DNFing at like mile 90. And Cam Haynes accredited that to, hey, when you're 20 years old, you haven't gone through the pains of life enough to be able to like just push through anything. You know, it's not till you're a little bit farther along in life. That's why you see so many ultra marathoners in their 30s and 40s, is because these guys have gone through so much pain in their day-to-day lives, in their emotional lives and spiritual lives and stuff, that the physical stuff almost feels easy. So that, I think there's some parallels here to that, and just the value of adversity, being able to push yourself to your limits and then grow in that way. There's nothing that will grow you like adversity, and there's nothing that will stunt your growth like comfort or being overly comfortable. So it's just when you're in adversity, and you can see this throughout the book, it's a chance for you to measure yourself and grow. And I think that this book just, oh, it illustrates that so well. And so, oh man, now I want to talk about a little bit more specifically about the old man and what makes him such a good protagonist, what makes us root for him and, I guess empathize with him so much. And like, why do I cry when I hear this? What are the values that he has that makes me, root for him so much? And the first one I want to highlight is just his respect. And this is like, he has respect in a lot of different areas. He respects DiMaggio, who he's never met. He has an incredible respect for the boy, who's a good friend of his. He has respect for the sea, which is like his love, his passion now is the sea. And he has respect for his quarry, the fish. So much respect for the fish. I mean, it's moving how much he respects the fish, even though he's trying to catch it and use it for meat. And he even respects the sharks that are eating his prize and his livelihood. He just has a lot of respect for everything natural and for the natural world. But I also wanted to highlight that he has a lot of respect for himself too. He has confidence in himself, and he, even at some points, I was going to write down the word pride in my notes and say, oh, the pride is what makes us connect with him well, but that pride has a pretty negative connotation. There's a point early in the book where the boy offers to buy him a drink and he declines at first. And in our culture, in the English language, I think we would call that like, oh, he's too proud to accept a drink because he's poor and he's too proud. But I actually think he just has a certain level of respect for himself and for those around him that he holds himself to just that standard. And he's very aware of his capabilities and his limits, but he's not afraid to just hang on and push through. So he has a lot of respect. The next one I wanted to highlight, and this is one of the ones that just makes this character so special, is his hope and his optimism. So he, in every situation and circumstance, is just completely optimistic. After 87 days of not catching a fish, every day he still wakes up and says, today's the day. I'm going to go out there. I'm going to give it 100% and I'm going to catch a fish. Whereas I think most of the people I know, myself included, probably would have quit by day 10 of not catching a fish. They would have said, you know what? This probably is not the industry for me. I'm completely broke. And okay, sorry about that. Mary Beth just got home. But anyway, one of the other cool things is his optimism and hope, as I was saying. And a lot of us would have quit on day 10 of getting out there and not catching any fish. But he just continues to be out there and be forever optimistic about catching a fish and having hope. And I also think this is extremely highlighted. Well, maybe this goes with the last one. I'll just go to the last one. And they kind of go hand in hand. But his persistence and willpower are astounding. The fact that he's able to be out there for days fighting this fish is just astounding. And I could see what Cody's talking about whenever he's saying it's the ultra running book, but because like at one point he has to remind himself to keep eating to make sure that he keeps up his strength. And it's just, it's like, it's 10% physical and 90% mental. Everything he's doing, it's so comical almost, because he's fighting a fish, but he's playing these mind games with it. And at one point the fish actually jumps out of the water, and it was a good thing. That means he's getting closer to landing the fish, but at the same time it was a bad thing. And the old man comments to himself, he's like, oh no, now he knows that I'm just one man and that I'm old, and that's going to just give him more willpower for the fish. And he's just like, oh, I just don't need to give that fish any more confidence. And so he was just so discouraged because he was playing mind games with this fish, and he didn't want the fish to know that he was alone. That was one of his big things. He's like, I can't let the fish know that I'm alone, and I can't let the fish know that I'm old. If he knows these things, he might just keep fighting forever. So it's just these weird mind games that he's playing, and his persistence and willpower is incredible. And one of the specific things that I wanted to highlight was, at the very, very end of the book, whenever the boy comes to visit and take care of the old man when he's in his bed, he actually starts commenting. The boy says, hey, I'm going to fish with you for now on. Basically, I made a mistake by not going with you. And the old man was like, no, you know, keep fishing with your boat. You're with the lucky boat. And the boy's like, no, really, I'm going to fish with you. And the old man then was like, okay, this is what we're going to do different next time. He's like on the verge of death in his bed, but he's like already talking about what we're going to do different next time and what he learned about this battle with the fish. He said, you know, we're going to take multiple harpoons. We need to temper our steel so it doesn't break. When I hit one of the sharks, my knife broke. And he's like, every mistake that I made, I'm not going to make that mistake again. So that just highlights while he's still in agonizing pain in his bed, he's already thinking about going out and doing it again. It also highlights how much he has conviction and loves what he does. And I think, gosh, man, I would kill for that amount of conviction, for like loving what you do, because I think so often it's easy to feel like directionless or purposeless in life. And ironically, such a mundane thing was so special for the old man. And I think that's one of the things that makes him such an incredible superhero of a character, is just how ordinary he is, but how extraordinarily ordinary he is, and how he can be like a superhero in the most ordinary way possible. I'm not going to say much more on this podcast, but one thing I do want to highlight is also, I talked about the value of diversity, but I want to talk about like the value of adversity alone, and also with others. So first of all, alone, you learn way more about yourself. I kind of touched on that a little bit, but I want to talk about the special bond that happens when you suffer with others. So one of the reasons I think the boy and the old man have such a good relationship is because they've been out on the sea together and they've suffered through some of this stuff together. And so when the boy is empathizing so much with the old man, he actually weeps when he sees the boat, and he cannot stop crying because he knows what the old man went through. And they just have that special bond that's like hard to put into words. The boy knows exactly what the old man went through, and they know what each other have been through. But then Hemingway contrasts this so well at the very end of the book with the tourists that are coming just to see the sights and eat the food. And they look at the boat and they see a carcass of a huge fish, and they say, you know, what happened? What is that? And the proprietor says, oh, you know, the sharks. And so they take that wrongly and actually assume that what's strapped to the boat is actually an 18-foot shark. And they make a comment like, oh, I didn't know sharks had such beautiful tails. And it was such a perfect way to end the book, because then it highlights the difference of, you know, these tourists have had their own struggles, yes, but they haven't struggled in the same way, and they haven't struggled and had adversity alongside the old man. So they aren't bonded in that same way as the old man and the boy are. And I think it just highlights how when you go through these challenging circumstances, it can feel so lonely because you feel like nobody understands you. And it, just a very tangible way that I'll express this really quickly is like when Caleb and I went on that Mount Columbia fiasco adventure where we didn't have any water, didn't have any food, and we were out there for like 19 hours and we just completely bonked, had nothing in our tanks. And it was just the adventure of all adventures where every step was like such a battle. When we got back from that, we knew what we went through together, and it brought us closer together. I feel like at that point, that's when Caleb and I were like, man, we trust each other so much, you know? But when we tell other people, oh yeah, we did Mount Columbia, you know, this year, you know, people will be like, oh yeah, I've done Mount Columbia. That's kind of a hard one. And it just highlights that, yes, it's hard, but you guys don't know, you weren't there with us. And so it's just like a difference of perspective. When you're struggling alongside somebody, you know what they're going through. It's also a good reminder for us, whenever we see somebody who says they're struggling, or even if they don't say they're struggling, they might be, and we can't see that perspective. We aren't struggling alongside of them, not just with physical things, but also emotional things. So it's a good reminder to check on people and then just listen to what they're saying, because sometimes it's hard to relate to what other people are going through. But I think Hemingway highlights that so beautifully, and how adversity and suffering together, it brings people close like nothing else will. But I guess to summarize, this book's like a masterpiece. The only reason I wanted to record a podcast about it is because it's everything that I want to convey through this podcast about pushing yourself, having respect. And it also has a lot of spiritual themes. Obviously, myself being a Christian, I'm taking this from a very biblical perspective. And there's a lot of ways that we're going to suffer. You know, Christ promises that we're going to suffer spiritually. And so when you do that, it's just nice knowing that that's promised, and that you have a God who cares for you and has a big plan for you that's even more important than yours. So without that promise, suffering can feel pretty hopeless, but there is value in it, and there is opportunity for growth through suffering and adversity. So Stay after it, guys. Oh, one last thing I wanted to say is I think it's so ironic. Like, we're so blessed in our culture with the whole, like, ultra marathon stuff. I love it. But I think the only reason that people pursue it is because we live in a culture that's so geared towards comfort that we have to actually go out of our way to try to make ourselves suffer. And what a blessing that is. Like, what a weird juxtaposition that is, that we have to actually, like, sign up for a race to bring suffering upon us, because we know that suffering is important and it's a time to grow and push yourself. But what a blessing it is that, I don't know, we live in a time and a place that that's something that we have to think about, is like, oh, I need to be intentional about when I'm going to suffer. It's kind of ironic and weird, but just an interesting thought. I would also encourage you guys to read this book. You can read it in one day if you want. It's very short. The version that I have is only like 52 pages. My dad's like 100 pages, but they're short pages. So read the book. Tell me what you think. And please, if you would, leave a review on the podcast. I know this one was different, but it's one that I wanted to crank out because it's such a beautiful story and highlights some really good qualities that I think are important. Thanks, guys, and we'll catch you on the next one.